Today we shall hear from three of our monks, Ingeborg, Anita, and Ellen. And we'll start out with Ingeborg telling what? What's your topic? What's her topic?
How our world is a reflection of who we are is her topic.
Ellen, what's your topic?
How her world is a reflection of who she is.
Ingeborg, what's your topic? How
world
my world...
My world is a reflection of who I am.
Your world is a reflection of who you are. Go for it.
Well... This is a little surprise for me to talking about this topic. Well, who am I? First is a thing which comes up. I am God. God I am. And I believe it. And my world is a divine world. And everything about myself is a reflection of my world, as I reflect the same. Everything around me is reflection exactly of the thoughts I have. Thoughts of purity, gentleness, reverence, and uplifting talk words. Yesterday, I didn't like to see that Jenny, the film, because the time before, there were the two majors. One of these majors made such a bad face and angry face and stupid face when he was angry. And that face I didn't like. I prefer to see that from the Hogan's heroes. They only make stupid faces, but they are more gentle, more elegant, more convincing. But that face where that gentleman has made that major, I was really disgusted about. Sorry that, but it's not belonging to my world. My world, I am surrounded by wonderful people, wonderful monks, and they know exactly what it means living up to the principle. Every promise I make, I have, I fulfill. Not that I have. It is obvious. What I say I will do, or I do, I like to do, I do it. Without thinking about what is right, is it convenient for me, is it inconvenient for me. No, I just do it, because that is living up to principle. I like me very much today, and I have success in doing all the things I'm working on. I love you.
Anita, tell us why. Every time you tend to flowers, they grow beautifully.
Okay. Why do the flowers, every time I tend to them, grow beautifully?
Because.
Because I am a beautiful flower. And I love flowers. And as Ellen just said so remarkably, you can call me flower. You know that story about in Bambi, where Bambi smells the flowers and a little skunk just shows his face amongst the flowers, and Bambi smells it and says, flower? And the skunk says, you can call me flower. That actually would really wrap up my talk and say everything. I keep it very short today. And I pass the mic on to Ellen.
Ellen, yes. Tell us why making a cup of coffee is so difficult for a monk.
Have you ever heard such a subject? Such a title, why it's so difficult to make a cup of coffee for a monk? For a monk, everything is easy. Because a monk just listens within, and as I am a monk, I listen within, and I just follow what I hear. When I'm given the order, or if I'm the command to make a cup of coffee, I think only of the love I put into it. Because not of the coffee which might have some negative thoughts about it. For me, coffee is delicious. I like coffee, cappuccino, espresso. Wow, it's all delicious. And so whenever I make a cup of coffee, and as a monk, I put that perfume of divine love, that fragrance of unconditional love in the coffee, and I put a heart on top with some decoration which says, I love you. And if that decoration is not always visible, because maybe I have not some cream available, then I just let it be invisible, and whoever gets the coffee I give knows that there is love in it. What a fragrance, what a purity, what a pure coffee of love. Wow. And everybody takes it and sips just one sip at a time. Never just a whole cup, because it's so delicious. It's so good. It's so filled of perfect aroma, perfect divine aroma. And whoever does not like coffee, that day they say, me too, a cup of coffee from a monk. Well, I'm ready to serve you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you, monkeys. And we have now just heard from the three monkeys here at the Absolute Monastery. And can you see how extemporaneously, given a topic, they mellow to it and make it say what they want it to say, which is, of course, the thing to do. But it doesn't show much genius when you merely open your mouth and say a few words and close it. It shows a genius when you have an opportunity to give a talk, to instantly say, oh, you want me to talk on how to make flowers grow, or why my flowers grow so well. First, you explain that you do have flowers that you love and care for, and that you do tenderly care for them, and you love them, but you also don't overlove them. You love them and let them grow, and then you walk away from them, and occasionally you come back and say, oh, my flowers look so lovely. And sometimes you forget they were even your flowers, because you forgot what color was going to come up. And you looked at that beautiful garden, and you were in charge of it. You planted it, you did it, and then you wonder, why did it grow? Well, nature has a way of taking care of everything by itself. And if you want your garden to grow, then you give it a little attention. If you don't give it attention, then sometimes it'll grow too. Like Ingeborg, she has a garden down by the Shangri-La. And she didn't plant any of it. She didn't hurt any of it. But she watered it whenever she thought of it. And during her times of watering it, the plant just blossomed, just grew and grew and grew. And large fluted pink flowers, what were they? Beautiful flowers that just sort of burst out of nowhere. And it's between the driveway and the barn, you know, and the house. It's in a very inaccessible area for looking at, but everybody who walked out to the tractor, to the barn, from the house, walked by these flowers, and they say, my goodness, look at how beautiful they are. And then we have a beautiful front yard filled with iris. And because the iris are not given any attention, the iris sort of look wompy and weavy. If we were to get in there and trim them off and take the dead leaves out, it would be beautiful and just flamboyant and lovely. And it only takes about 20 minutes on your knees to do that. But no one here is interested in doing that. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Is that why they look as nice as they do?
Well, not yet done.
Oh, I see. You do it in your mind, and that's what you're going to do.
I do it.
I see. Good. Well, this is great. Now, I always like to look at a garden of flowers and not know who planted them. Because if I know who planted them, then I think to myself, oh, okay, that's their attitude toward life. But if I don't know who planted them, and they're just wonderful, beautiful flower is just growing, 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 then I can be surprised, can I? Mm-hmm. Here's some person I consider to be a little lazy, grew the beautiful flowers. Well, now, Ellen's grandchildren were trained by their parents in athletics. And athletics was the big theme because that's Daddy's favorite hobby. So he had the kids doing that. Well, the kids burned out on it because it was just more than what they wanted. They were doing that to please their parents. And because they burned out on it, they began to show their talent in other fields. And as they're showing now their talent in other fields, they're finding that, hey, they got a lot of talent, a lot of genius, a lot of areas that they never dreamed of expressing in. Now they can. Now, maybe the garden isn't where you belong. Maybe it is. But if you belong in the garden, nobody would know that you were there. If you think you'd like to belong in the garden, then everybody knows you're there because you tell them. But if you belong in the garden, you are so quiet about it, you're so unknown about it, nobody knows. You go out there early in the morning and you pull the weeds when it's still early in the mist, before the hot sun comes down. You fertilize the garden, you water it, you do all the little things at the right time of day, not in the heat of the day and things like that, when it happens to be the convenient time of the day for most people. But you go out there with your tender, loving care at the right time. Now, this is what you do in all areas of your life. If you want to be a genius, if you want to be a master, if you want to be good at anything you do, do it at its time, not yours. Do it at the time that it is for that project to be best revealed and expressed. If you're going to be a circus clown, you got to have a circus to be a circus clown in. So, what do children do? They create their own circus, don't they? And they're very good circuses. And they even charge money because they think they're good. And that's beautiful. Now, what do they do with the money? Whoever knows. It's much or little, doesn't matter. But the thing is, they are paid performers as clowns. Not bad, huh? Mm-hmm. And so, I work as a clown. You do? Yeah, I have a salary. And what is your salary? Half of the house. Half of the house? Wow. Can I come and see you perform? Oh, sure. Where? In Jimmy's backyard. But you see, that's the beauty of it. Always be honest. Always be upfront. But always realize that whatever you say is good and very good. Yes, each one of you are magic people. But you're only magic people if you believe it. Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
Then when you're asked to speak, speak. And give a well-organized talk, even if you hadn't known an instant before that you were going to give the talk. But just be yourself. You've done well many times. Now do well now. So, think about that. Each one of you spoke 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and I spoke 6. So, that gets us a little ways along here. So have a lovely afternoon. Have a nice nap. And do beautiful things. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I took care.